Welcome back to our Church Planter series. As we move towards the church plant, we're asking the question, what are the non-negotiables? What things must this church have? We're going to plant this church. What's it got to be? Well, it's got to be gospel intoxicated. That was our first week, wasn't it? It was gospel intoxicated. Our church plant must be full of grace, loving people who are different and eager to reach out. Week two, we looked at how a church must be word-centered, listening to him and speaking his word to each other. In week three, we saw that our church should be creation-embracing, and that that means resting in God's grace, learning from God's wisdom, and enjoying the fact that we're humans. This week, week three, is community-forming. And the big idea is that Jesus brings community, and so think like him. Jesus brings community, so think like him. Well, I'm a part of the Pokemon community. That's cool, isn't it? Pokemon Go community. Kids think awesome, adults think this guy, I'm switching off now. Can't listen to a guy who's a part of that crowd. It's the augmented reality game. It was supposed to be like this when the promotion clips came out on YouTube, and it was supposed to be like this, but it ended up being much more like this. But I still like it, and I'm still a part of that community. My sons and I play it together, along with a whole bunch of other people from around Kingston. We have a Facebook group which we use to organise meetups, and then we get together physically to catch these really powerful Pokemon. While catching the Pokemon, we share advice on how to catch the different types. We share stories of successes and failure, and we share the shame of being a group of mostly adults catching imaginary creatures in very public places. I'm a part of this community. We're united in our desire to catch Pokemon. We're partners in Pokemon. Got to catch them all. We all think the same about Pokemon. Well, actually, just between you and I don't think the same as them. You can ask my boys. I don't even know the names of all the Pokemon. I just used it as an excuse to get the boys out of the house. When we play together, it's really strange. We don't look at each other. We're all staring into our screens as we tap away. Often there's really long periods of silence where it's like you're the only person in the room. I spend most of my time thinking about what we're doing and thinking about how it's such a far cry from what community should be. I'd never say this to them. They'd be destroyed. They'd be so upset talking trash about our community, our precious community. They love their community, and that's really good. I don't feel quite so warm about it. But I do love the fact that they love community and that they've formed this thing because they want to be with other people. It's a human thing, isn't it, to love community, to desire community, to seek to create communities, join communities based around shared hobbies and events and institutions. But unfortunately, our man-made communities will always fail us, even the Pokemon community. Because long ago, a long time ago, when we once had real, full, and deep community, we turned away from it. And so we lost all that community should be. So Jesus brings community. We had community, but lost it. We had community in the garden. Of course we did, because God is community and this was his place. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they've been in community forever. And so when in Genesis 1 and 2 God made us in his image, he made us community people. He made us for communion with him and with each other. He said it wasn't good for us to be alone. Taking in cats and dogs doesn't make things right, and it still doesn't make things right, people. We should commune with him and with other people. He made us for community, and he gave us community with the creation of the woman. He gave us community, and he commanded community, fill the earth with community. But rather than doing that, the first humans chose to commune with a snake, and so we sinned. We lost community through sin. We turned from God's community and created our own community with a snake. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But you can do that in Pokemon Go. It is ridiculous. God said communing with creation was not good enough for us. This is even worse than that. This is communing with a satanic creation, this snake. We broke from God's community. We created our own satanic community, a community without God. We sinned. Such a bad move, breaking communion with God, who is life and is love, who is community. Such a bad move, breaking out of communion with the triune God. Now, humans could still commune after that event, but community from then on becomes corrupted as humans commune to turn against God, blame God, have shame before God. In Genesis 3, we see even inside their new community, there is blame and shame for each other. And this sin brings the punishment in the form of curse, and we're given over to our cursed and corrupted community. Now we have cursed and corrupt community. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, the most basic community building block for all other communities, the family, a husband and a wife, now sees fighting for control of the community. Pain increases greatly when they try to grow the community through childbirth, in verse 16. And they won't get to continue very long in community, for God's curse sees communion ended with the return to dust. That's death, in verse 19. So we still have community. We can still create community, but on account of sin, now we have cursed, corrupt community. You can see both our ability to create community and it being a cursed and corrupted community coming together in Genesis 11, where we have a community building project. Yay! It's going really well. Lots of inclusive community building words like come, let's, and again, come, let's. This is verse 4 now in Genesis 11. But the community building project is to build Babel, a monument to ungodly communion, a structure for a cursed, corrupt community as they commune to overthrow the community creator God. And instead of filling the earth with community, they're clinging together, not going out, but building up to overthrow God. And ironically, as they're seeking to preserve community, in verse 4, they paralyze it. And so, as God busts up their corrupt community and sends them out again, yes, it's an act of judgment in that they can't communicate for a while. He confuses their languages. So they're under that judgment. Things are going to be rough for a while until they learn the new languages. But it's also an act of grace from God, as he forces them to go out and do what they were created to do, to fill the earth and keep growing community. But grace really comes to the fore in the very next chapter, as suddenly out of nowhere we find a promise of return to blessed community again. We had community but lost it. God promised community and Jesus brings it. God promised community to Abraham, a blessed community. In Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, God promises Abraham the blessing of a huge, blessed community that will be capable of blessing all other communities. In Abraham and in his blessed community, all other cursed and corrupted communities find an opportunity to be blessed. All the communities in all the places and all the nations can find a blessing in Abraham. Now, while it's devastating to read for the rest of the Old Testament that Abraham's family, later called Israel, continue in the cursed, corrupt community, it's encouraging to find that God's promise is still there. Actually, it continues to grow, even despite human corruption. By the end of the Old Testament, he's made clear that community is so important, he will come and create this new blessed community for us. God promised to come and create a new community. More than 1,000 years after his promise to Abraham, God, with the community of Israel smashed and split in two, God promised to send his servant, saying of him in Isaiah 49 verse 6, "It's too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I've kept. I will also make you a light for Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." And then 500 years after that, God made it crystal clear that his servant had arrived with the ministry of the God-man Jesus. At Jesus' baptism, God said it, "This is the servant," and showed it by putting his spirit upon that man, that Jesus was the promised one. The servant Jesus came from the community of Israel to the community of Israel, but it was to restore all communities and all nations from curse and corruption to blessing. But the only way that he could bring this blessing to all humanity was through him being cursed, being covered in corruption and cut off, excluded from community in suffering, death and hell for us. Jesus creates community through the cross. On the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In other words, why have you cut me off from community? God forsook Jesus so that he would never forsake us. God cut off his son so that we need never be cut off, but could always, forever be included. But when God raised him for us, Jesus could send his spirit to us so that a new community could be formed in him, united to him by his spirit, creating a new people of God who would now, by the spirit of Jesus, live in him and he live in them. Now, by the Spirit of Jesus, all people can live in him and he live in them. This is Ephesians 2, verse 15. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. So no distinction between Israel and everyone else. All people from all places can have real, deep communion with God and with each other through the death of Jesus. By the Spirit of Jesus, a new people of God, a new blessed community of God, undivided, eternal, Israelites, Iranians, Aussies, all nations together, can be in Jesus and Jesus in them forever by his Spirit. Here's a quote from Ed Clowney. "The ethnicity of the new people of God is now spiritual rather than physical, making the bonds stronger and the brotherhood more intense. Christians are not just born-again individuals, they're a family. Spiritual ethnics, the new people of God in Christ." So we had community but lost it. God promised community and Jesus brings it through the cross. And now Jesus brings community today as we think like him. So as we attempt to now land this 747, we're going to finally spend some time with the church in Philippi. It's got to be the most loving community book in the Bible, this book of Philippians. The letter to the church in Philippi is bookended with reference to those in Christ Jesus. It's clearly a letter to those already in communion with Christ, who have union with Christ in Christ's community. But two of them, at least two of them, have been disagreeing. There's a bit of disunity in the church in Philippi. It's Euodia and Syntyche again. And so it's a bit of a shock to us to have this Christ's community that is experiencing disunity when we get to Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. And the solution in Philippians 4, verse 2, is that they need to agree in the Lord. That's probably what you, if you've got NIV 84 edition, it will say agree in the Lord. Euodia and Syntyche need to agree in the Lord, which sounds a bit simplistic, right? Can't you guys just agree? Oh, yes, sorry. Ah, it's fixed. No, literally, the language is think the same in the Lord. And if you've got a more recent NIV or another translation, you might have that in front of you. Think the same. You guys need to think the same. Is that going to help Euodia and Syntyche? You guys, think the same. About what? About the best movie or... No, think the same. This language of think the same connects back to where exactly the same language has been used. This is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And so now we're in our section that we had read earlier. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, we're told to think the same as the Lord Jesus. Again, in your NIV 84, it might say your attitude should be the same, but it's your thinking should be the same. So Euodia, Syntyche, you guys need to think the same. In context, chapter 2, verse 5, that means you need to think the same as Jesus. And then reading the verses that follow that sort of subject heading verse, chapter 2, verse 5, we find ourselves thinking of Jesus and then thinking like Jesus. So if we want to fix any disunity, have you got disunity here? How are you guys going? Anyone? You're right? Okay. If we want to fix disunity in a church, not this church, but some church, if we want to ensure our existing unity, we need to think the same, which means think of Jesus and like Jesus. Jesus, who in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, Philippians 2, 6, did not hold on to, grasp all that glory and power, but made himself nothing to serve us. See, Jesus thinks like a servant, Philippians 2, verse 7. Not thinking less of himself, as in, oh, I'm rubbish, I'm just rubbish, I'm a nothing. But thinking of himself less. Not thinking less of himself, but thinking of himself less. How can I serve these people? Which means that he thinks with humility in verse 8. Thinking of others more than he thinks about himself. He takes all that power, all that glory, bottled up to gently, quietly live, serve, and die for us, humbly saving us by dying for us. And finally, as we look at Jesus and learn from Jesus, chapter 2, verse 9, he leaves his exaltation to God. After 33 years of humbly serving, God raised Jesus up. In a wonderful way, at just the right time, he raised Jesus to life and then raised Jesus to glory. So, Euodia, Syntyche, think the same. Think of Jesus and then think like Jesus. Brothers and sisters at Summerlees, think the same. Think of Jesus and think like Jesus. We have communion with Jesus. We're in Jesus' community. So think of Jesus. Think of all that he did to bring us into that community. Enjoy the deep, real community that Jesus has brought us. And then think like Jesus. And so build like Jesus, build his community through humbly serving each other. Thinking like Jesus means humbly serving each other. As we think of Jesus and think like Jesus, we have a community of humble servants. As Jesus enables us to not think less of ourselves, but less about ourselves and more about each other. We'll worry less about our exaltation, about our recognition. We'll trust God to do the exalting of us. It'll come in God's time. Might not be today. Oh, well done, you did great. Look at him, he did so well. Might not be today. Might have to wait till glory. But trust God one day you'll get your recognition. And as we live this way, humbly serving each other, it means thankfulness and joy. You'll love it. This is a happy way to be, thinking of Jesus, thinking like Jesus. Being a humble servant is so good. It will bring intense times of thankfulness and joy. Listen to Paul in Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4. I'll just jump through a bit. I thank my God, verse 4, with joy, verse 7. I have you in my heart, verse 8. I long for you all with affection. That's the life. That's what it will be like. Thankful, joyful, loving, longing in your heart. And we can't say, oh, that's just Paul. That's not for me, that life. Paul says in Philippians 3 and verses 15 to 17 that we're to follow his example. And so as you think like Christ, humble and serving, you'll also be thankful and joyful. Imagine it. Can you imagine it for some of these? Can you imagine it for the 2020 church plans? Where coming to community isn't a chore. It's a joy. Where instead of, should I sing it or say it? I'll just say it. What about me? It isn't fair. We'll say, what about them? I really care. Where planting a church isn't something that hurts like hell. It's starting another joy factory. Where people will know they'll always be accepted into our community because Christ will always accept them into his community. Where people will know they don't need to be shy about coming to church because they're a mess. They'll know that church will thankfully, joyfully, humbly serve them even in their messiness. In fact, people will know that by turning up to church as a mess, they'll bring thankfulness and joy to that church. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that for some of these, for the church plant? Now, humble service in our church, it might look different coming from different people. It might be different than what you expected. You know, I'll try and hug you because I'm huggy, and then the person who struggles socially will stammer out a hello to you and they'll be exhausted after that. Someone else might hand you a Happy Meal toy. But be assured, in Christ's community, when you turn up in a mess, that community will be trying its best by God's grace to humbly serve you as you bring them thankfulness and joy simply just by turning up to church. Thank you. Now, my job description is to get us ready for the 2020 church plant in Hobart. This church plant must be community forming and so thinking like Christ. And Hobart needs this church so much. There are so many lonely people in Hobart stuck in horrible things like Pokemon communities. I'm joking, boys. Everyone needs a community of people who will accept them as they are, mess and all. Everyone needs a community of people who are striving to think the same as Jesus, seeking to be humble servants full of thankfulness and joy. The office worker who's sold her soul to the workplace. The migrant fresh off the plane, far from their family. The student drowning in studies, they need Christ's community of humble servants full of thankfulness and joy. Hobart needs a community like us. So let's create community with the 2020 church plant. I know they have many communities in Hobart, many good communities, but it's not enough. And there's not enough that are good enough. People are cut off from God and so will always be in some way cut off from each other until they know the joy of joining Christ's community and then experiencing that community as a group of people from many places, ages and walks of life, but all thinking the same, thinking like Christ, humbly serving each other. I know that there are many of Christ's communities in Hobart, I mean churches, but there's not enough and none like this. Hobart does not have a multi-ethnic GC church, Gospel Community Church. And as you guys know much better than me, the Gospel Community model makes it so much easier for people to know each other, to share their struggles and successes, and then really serve each other. And I know that it won't be easy for us to humbly serve Hobart. It won't be easy for you to humbly serve here at some of these either, by the way. But by God's grace, as we look to Jesus, as we try to think like Jesus, who brought us into his blessed community through his humble serving and dying for us, by his grace, we will find ourselves humbly serving Hobart, some of these. And I know that, and I hope you know that, if we muck up and the words of "what about me, it isn't fair" come to our minds, hopefully not the version by Shannon Knoll, but the one by Moving Pictures, if we muck it up, God's grace has us covered. God will forgive us. The community will forgive us. Even if we muck up the church plant, God's grace will see us through. But let's have a try. Let's go for this 2020 church plant. Christ brings community. He came to us and died to create community. We're united to him and he is to us. When we think of Christ and the unity, and when we think like Christ, we're able to work with him as we bring blessed communities to Tasmania. We'll be humble servants full of thankfulness and joy. We'll be the humans that God has created us for, truly living in community, blessed communities, the kind of communities that Hobart really needs. So let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you for all that you have done to create community in this world. Thank you for not forsaking us, but forsaking your Son, so that you need never forsake us. Thank you for raising him and for his sending the Spirit so that we can have eternal communion with you. Please help us to grow your community in this world. Help us to bring your community to Hobart. Please help us to bring your community to Summerlees, to the communities all around Hobart. We pray that they would be full of people who think of Christ and think like Christ, and so are a great blessing to one another and to this world. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.